through circumstance. The vast majority of the ayat that you read were revealed because of some circumstance. For example, just as a general example, just as a commonsensical example, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed on the heart of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam the famous phrase, Iqra. Okay? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed on the heart of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam this famous phrase, Iqra. Iqra bismi rabbika alladhi khalaq. Now, that was revealed to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and it applied only at that particular instance when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was in the cave and he was being told to recite the first verses of the Holy Quran. But do we apply that generally or do we apply that particularly? We apply it generally, so much so that people name their companies Iqra. Right? Now, did anybody ever go to them and say, why did you name your company Iqra? Iqra only applies to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We don't have to read. And all people will talk about this, that Iqra, brother, you should be reading, you should be studying, you should be going to college, etc. Don't you know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said Iqra to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? So here you see that actually the word Iqra is general. It applies to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but it highlights a concept within the deen generally. Alright? Now throughout the entire Quran you're going to find the same situation. The vast majority of legal rulings within the Quran were actually revealed for a particular circumstance. So are we going to say that was revealed to that companion, so we're not going to apply it to anybody else, it only applies to that companion? Or that was revealed for the year 1400 in this, or the, you know, for the year, let's say that it was, you know, 600 AD, and it only applies in that particular year because it was revealed to that particular group of people? No. What happens is we look through the Quran and we find general principles, and those principles apply generally to the entire community. It's a very, very detailed discussion, but I'm just trying to highlight just a simple concept in your mind. So in this particular case, where the Sahaba are being advised to interact with the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam min wara'i hijab, right? That applies generally. It's advising the believers in general that the method of interaction between males and females should be with hijab. And of course, there are many, many ways by which hijab is established. Now, throughout the Sharia, you're going to find examples of hijab. When a person travels, there's hijab. Now, the other thing that you actually have to understand is that, for example, hijab is established on men and women in travel. Okay, it's established on women in the sense that they should travel with a mahram. Then people say, well, that's not fair. That's only telling the women what to do. But actually, if you look through hadith, the same types of hijabs are established for the males. The Prophet ﷺ says that travel is a piece of the hellfire. Alright? So, again, the same advice is being given to the males, that you need to think carefully about travel, that you need to recognize that there's potential danger within travel, but because males may have a requirement to travel, because the Sharia made it an income requirement on the male in order to support the family, therefore the Sharia may not prohibit them from a particular act. That's another general principle that you have to recognize as you go through hadith. So, in general, what you have to recognize is that there are many, many spheres of life, and within those spheres of life, the Sharia has assigned various types of hijab. Now that also applies within the masjid. And so recently there's been this whole thing within the community about this whole issue of the hijab within the masjid. That also applies within the masjid. And in fact, it applies utmost within the masjid. Why? Because the masjid is the source of purity. We go out and live in the environment around us, and we become totally impure. And the one salvation that we have is the masjid. So the preservation of the purity of the masjid actually is essential to the preservation of the ability for a believer to purify themselves. So how does it apply in the masjid? Let me just give you some examples. You'll see throughout the hadith, if you actually read the hadith carefully and with an open mind and honestly, you'll find that throughout the hadith, the Sharia has created several layers of hijab. Not one hijab, several layers of hijab. So what are the different ways in which the Sharia establishes hijab, particularly within the masjid? Okay, first way in which the Sharia establishes hijab within the masjid is that it advises women to not come to the masjid to begin with. Okay? It advises women to not come to the masjid to begin with by granting them increased reward if they pray at home. The famous hadith, and this hadith has two components, so listen to two components before you process everything in your mind. The famous hadith is from Ibn Umar radiallahu anhu, It's in the book of Abi Dawud, rahmatullah alayh. In that hadith, Ibn Umar relates from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said two things. First, he said, do not prohibit your women from going to the masjid. Okay? Do not prohibit women from coming to the masjid, meaning they can come to the masjid. Then the second half of the statement, but their homes are better for them. Meaning, if they pray their prayer at home, it's more rewarded. Now, then if you go further and start digging through the hadith, you actually find that not only is the woman's prayer at home more rewarded,